Blog Talk Radio.
Cold and bitter, then I
just stop and consider all she's gone through. Don't be quick to condemn her for things she might say. Just remember, life turned her that way. She's been walked on and stepped on so many times, and I hate to admit it, but the she cries harder today, so don't blame her, life turned her that way. Stepped on so many times, and I hate to admit it, but the last footprint's mine. She was crying when I met her. She cries harder today, so don't blame her, life turned her that way. So don't blame her, life turned her that way.
A mansion, a harp and a crown. Hey, welcome to Easy Blue Eyes Productions presents Ricky Van Shelton Music Radio Show right here on the Easy Blue Eyes Production Radio Network. Tonight's episode is sponsored by the Easy Blue Eyes Production and fans of Ricky Van Shelton. Hey, I'm just your host tonight, Easy Blue Eyes, just running the soundboard. I just want to let everyone know that I appreciate you for tuning in, and if you could, can you please share the show? It'd be very much appreciated. Tonight, we're just going to go on a heck of a music ride from start to finish. So with that, I hope you enjoy the show. If you have a song that you want to request, please hook me up on Facebook. We'll get it played as soon as possible. But in the meantime, go grab yourself something to drink. Good beverage of choice, I don't care what it is, and then grab you a snack, prop up your feet, and enjoy the show, and let's get the show rolling. We're going to keep it right here on the Ricky Van Shelton Gospel, because I just enjoy his gospel music. Here is The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was. I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling my trophies at last I lay its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to that home far away where his glory forever I'll share. Oh, I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
if you God's hands that bless for me. travel down slow, you're the life that I
If I find me a mountain that none climbed before, do you think I could climb? Would I get tired and sore? If you do, then I'm asking, please let us go. You're my river, my mountain, oh, you're my rainbow. Oh, will you be my rainbow? Oh, your love is my goal. Let's start for the end. Oh, we grow tired and old. 'Cause you're my lost river. I want to travel down slow. You're the life that I want. Oh, you're my rainbow. You're my river, my mountain. You're my rainbow.
Now, earlier we talked about this. It seems this year, at Fanfare?
Yeah, this year.
This year at Fanfare, Jack Green and Ricky Van Shelton got together and performed Statue of a Fool for the first and only time. This will be the second time. The first time on television.
Right.
And Statue of a Fool, as we pointed out, was a big hit for Jack Green 20 years ago, 1969. And then 20 years later for Ricky Van Shelton in 1989. So tonight, for the first time on television, they're going to sing it together. Ricky Van Shelton, Jack Green, Statue of Fool.
Statue and love.
everybody. Welcome to the Emery's Memories channel. I'm your announcer, Gary Beatty. This channel was created to feature interviews by Ralph Emery. There are over 125 interviews by Ralph for you to enjoy on this channel. This channel has also become a collection point for rare and, in some cases, never-before-seen shows and interviews. What you're about to see is one of 14 classic interviews hosted by the Lagarde twins from Sydney, Australia. It's part of a TV series they created, and it's called Down Home, Down Under. Now, these interviews have remained in their private collection, and they've never aired on radio or television until now. Let's watch their one-on-one interview with Ricky Van Shelton.
Welcome back to Lagarde Twins Down Home, Down Under. Now, here's my brother Tom to tell you about our very special guest.
With a dream in his heart, an old car, and a trusted friend, he left his small town of Grit, Virginia, and headed to Nashville, Tennessee with that real, true grit to make it in the music business. Well, now it's living proof that his Loving Proof album has gone gold and that he's very successful and that he did make it in the music business.
You know, Tom, some critics have tried to define Ricky's music as in terms such as rockabilly, traditionalist, progressive, the real stuff, honky-tonk, but his voice and music is all a country music lover could ask for.
And here's our special guest and also Male Vocalist of the Year, Ricky Van Shelton. Welcome to the show, Ricky.
Thank you.
Good
appreciate
night,
it.
Ricky.
Good day. Good day.
You said that like Paul Hogan.
Well, I saw the movie.
Did you like it?
I loved it, yeah.
What does it feel like being voted Male Vocalist of the Year?
Well, it's a wonderful feeling. It's wonderful to get nominated, you know. It's an honor to get nominated, and of course it's an honor to win. But I don't dwell on awards, you know. The only thing I'm concerned with is the fans. How many tickets can I sell? Because that's the bottom line.
That's right.
You can win every award every year, and if you can't fill up that concert hole, you've got to eat them awards.
You know? Well, you seem to be doing pretty good. I know that you used to be a rock and roll fan.
Oh, yeah.
And tell us a story how your brother, your older brother, got you into country music.
He didn't con you, did he?
Yeah, he did. He did with a car.
With
an old car. But at the time, it wasn't an old car. It was just 1 year old. It was 1964, 65. My brother Ronnie had a 64 Ford Fairlane, two-door hardtop with a four-speed. Mm-hmm. I was 14 years old. I liked rock and roll music. I liked the Beatles and the Stones and, you know, people like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of soul music, too, like Otis Redding, Percy Sledge, people like that. Well, my brother Ronnie, one of his friends, they bought a guitar, and Ronnie bought a mandolin, and they was going to learn to play, and they loved country music and bluegrass music. And, you know, even though I was 14 years old, I'd been playing a guitar for probably 8, 9 years, something like that. And, you know, I could make 15 or 20 chords, and I could play anything, I could sing, put it that way. And Ryan wanted me to go with him out on the weekends, and they would just go to some of their friends' houses, you know, and sit around the kitchen table and and pick a little bit, you know, maybe they drink a beer or a little moonshine, whatever. Whatever they could get their hands up.
Or plunk, as we call it in Australia.
Yeah, just plunking on the guitar. You know, they play the same song for half an hour, you know. And he wanted me to go with him because I could play the guitar and help him learn a little bit, help him play, you know. And I said, no, I didn't want to go, 'cause I don't like no country music, you know. And so finally he said, he kept asking me for a couple of weeks, and finally he said, I tell you what, if you'll go with me, I'll let you drive my car. And I said, you know, well, maybe I can do this thing, you know.
That was the magic word.
That was the magic word, you know, because I was, like I said, I was 14 years old, he was a car with a four speed, you know, and I didn't have no way to get at the house on the weekends, no way, you know, so... And besides, my mama thought the sun rose and set on Ronnie. She thought he could do no wrong. So anywhere Ronnie wanted to go, I could go with him, you know, no matter what. Even during the middle of the week, you know, on a school night.
Right.
So anyway, I started hanging around with Ronnie, and first thing you know, I fell in love with country music, you know, it just happened.
Well, I'm sure glad we did that you did, because let me tell you, when George Jones recorded that song, Who's Gonna Fill Our Shoes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, Ricky Van Shelton came along, and... two or three other new ones came along, because you are really keeping country music alive. But Ricky,
Thank
I want
you.
To ask you, because this is such a competitive business, and you know that.
Yeah.
How did you, Ricky Van Shelton, handle the fierce competition when you came to Nashville?
Well, you know, I didn't see any competition in the competitive part of the business when I came to Nashville. All I saw was, in my mind, I wanted to be, I wanted a recording contract. I wanted to hear myself on the radio, and I wanted a big buzz, and I wanted to be playing all over the country, you know. So that's all I was thinking about. That was all I was up here, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started making demo tapes, and I'd go out to clubs, and I'd give everybody a demo tape, you know. They were terrible, you know, they were terrible tapes. Be me and my guitar, and I'd be singing all the different parts, you know, had a little four-track recorder. But I was just trying to meet as many people as I can meet, you know, find out who these people were at the record companies that could do me some good,
yeah,
and how to get to them, you know. So when I'd go to a club, I'd get to know the band, I'd get to know people that came into the clubs, and, you know, every time somebody new come in that looked like they were somebody, I'd say, well, who is that? You know, who is that guy? What can he do for me?
playing politics type of thing, eh?
What kind of?
Doing your own PR?
Well, yeah, I was out there searching every night. I was out there looking. I'd go to this club, and I'd go to that club, and I'd get up and sing here, and get up and sing there, and mm-hmm. and a writer's off. When I heard this guy was a writer, well, I'd just make friends with him real quick, you know.
We have to take a break right now, but we'll be right back with the Lagarde Twins Down Home, Down Under, with our very special guest, Ricky Van Shelton. Don't go away.
You started recording some of the classic songs,
yes,
that were already hits
years ago
by other artists.
Right.
Now, who came up with that idea to do that?
My producer, Steve Buckingham. Because after I got signed with CBS and Steve and I started working together,
mm-hmm.
you know, he told me, you know, your voice would be perfect for some of these old songs, you know. And I said, well, that's great, because I love the older country music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these obscure classics, I love that type of music. And so he picked out a few that he thought that would go good with my voice and my style. And one of them was Life Turned That Way.
Yeah.
Who wrote that?
Harlan Howard wrote it. Little Jimmy Dickens cut it in the late 50s. And Mel Tillis cut it in the early 60s.
You know, Ricky, you can't make it in this business on your own. You had a great supporter when you came to Nashville. I think it was Betty?
Betty, my wife, yeah.
Okay. And apparently she truly, really believed in you and what you were doing,
yes,
and supported you.
Well, yeah, she did. She supported me mentally and
emotionally?
Every way, you know, she supported me. When we moved to Nashville, I didn't have a job. Betty was a personnel manager, so she mm-hmm. made decent money. Well, when she got the offer to move to Nashville, it wasn't me that got the offer.
Mm-hmm.
So when she got the offer to move to Nashville to be in personnel, you know, she said, well, should I take it? And I said, well, if you're waiting on me, you're backing up, you know. so we packed up and kissed everybody goodbye, and we moved to Nashville. Well, you know, we discussed this thing in length. She says, well, I don't want you to work, because you can't do your thing if you got to work. I want you to take care of the house and everything during the day. At nighttime, you go out to the clubs and you meet all these people and you work your way into the business, you know. Just get out there and find these people and somehow go this way and go that way. Just get out there and do it. So that's what we did. I was a house husband, you might say. I took care of the house. I cooked. Yeah. I cleaned.
Were
I did everything.
Cook? Could you cook?
Oh, I'm a good cook.
Well, yeah. You like to cook.
I can cook anything.
Now, let me see. Here's the thing. You and Betty came. Were you married then?
No.
You weren't married?
No.
That's okay.
That's okay.
But you came here, and you both worked hard at the business, right?
Yes, yes.
To make it.
Mm-hmm.
And you succeeded. Yes. Well, let me ask you something. What did you guys do differently than somebody else that comes to Nashville, works just as hard, they're devoted, they're dedicated, and after a few years, they drive away empty-handed?
We met the right people.
You really think that is the key?
Sure, you got to meet the right people. You know, timing is important, and you got to meet the right people. The old saying is, who you know? Well, I mean, that's a lot of fact in that saying. It's who you know. We met the right people, because it was through Betty, again, that I'm here talking to you, because when Betty took this job here in Nashville, she was working, she hired this lady named Linda Thompson. Linda is the wife of Jerry Thompson. Jerry is a newspaper columnist at the Tennessee and the newspaper here mm-hmm. in town. Well, Jerry knows everybody in the world, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody knows him. He knew Rick Blackburn at CBS,
uh-huh.
which was at the time was in charge of CBS Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
He knew him, you know. Linda and Betty knew each other. So through that relationship, I got to know Jerry. and we became friends.
But I think that's great, Ricky, but I think a lot has to do with your talent, too, the fiber and the quality of your voice. I mean, they could have liked you.
Sure.
But, you know, you have a very tender, a very emotional, you record well. And it's living proof that your Loving Proof album has gone gold, you know. And so you had to have something that they liked, because you know you can know this person, that person. If they didn't like Ricky Van Shelton, if they didn't like what they were hearing,
think they could make money
with you,
Well, I realize I'm a product. You know, I told someone the other day, you know, I'm a product.
That's business.
Right. There's no friendship. You know, there's friendship and there's business. You know, with CBS and myself, the CBS and I'm their product. You know, and I know that. Uh-huh. I'm friends with CBS, with the people there at CBS, you know, with those people. But when it comes down to business, you know, I conduct myself in that manner.
You have a business manager?
Oh, I got all kinds of managers.
You do?
I have a personal manager, and I got a business manager, and I got accountants and lawyers and booking agents, and I got all kinds of people.
Now, you know, you look so young. And you are young, really. I mean, but you've been in the business for 20 years, right?
Well, you know, not professionally. I've been in the business since 86 professionally, but I've been in this business all my life. I mean, this is all I've ever wanted to do. It's all I've ever done. You know, I never had a real good job because I was always making myself available to play music. Mm-hmm. While the other kids were playing ball, I was playing the guitar and singing. You know, they were going in high school. The kids were going to the dances, the junior senior prom, for example. I was going there with my brother picking bluegrass and country way back in a stick somewhere. You know, I was always playing. I used to carry my guitar in my trunk when I got out of school and I had a car and a job. Mm-hmm. I carried my guitar where I went. I'd carry it to work. You know, I was always playing.
Ricky, when you go out, whether you're out by yourself or friends, you know, and you walk into a restaurant, does it bother you when people come up and say, hey, can we have your autograph? And we knew you when you were back then and you were starting in the business and does that bother you?
Well, yes and no. It doesn't. It does bother me sometimes. I'm, you know, when you get busy in this business, you're busy, you know. And I got so much time to eat and so much time to do this, so much time to do that. So it bothers me that I don't have time to deal with these people.
Not that you mind. You don't mind doing it.
No, I don't mind doing it. It's just the time factor that I don't have time, and that's what's hard about it, because you don't want. You can't say no. I'm sorry. You know, get away from me. It's not that at all. It's just that you're in a hurry. So what you have to do is you just do the best you can. You know, you sign the autographs, mm-hmm. and you be nice and cordial to them, and just try to, and you pray that they don't think you're a jerk, you know, because you're trying to get away from them because you've got to go here, you've got to go there.
Paul Newman made a statement. He said the last time he ever signed an autograph when a fellow followed him into the restroom one time. That was it. He said, Paul, can I have your autograph?
Well, I signed an autograph in the bathroom, but I was coming out, you know, so...
That's great.
Well, Ricky, what are your ultimate, goals or aim in life? You've won Male Vocalist of the Year. Hopefully, you're probably going to drive to get Entertainer of the Year.
Well, I'm not driving at Entertainer of the Year. I'm not driving at any of the awards. Like I said, you know, I'm flattered and I'm honored, and I truly am, and I mean that. But awards are not important to me, and I mean that. The only thing that's important to me is those people out there that come to see me.
Yeah.
And the records, the quality of music, not the quantity, but the quality of songs that people hear. That's the only thing that's important to me as far as the music goes. But as far as the goals go, yeah, I want a whole wall full of platinum albums, because that says it all.
Yeah.
You know, and I got my farm. I always wanted a farm. I got me a farm.
Where's
I want to be happy too. That's the main thing. I've always been a happy person. I want to continue to be so.
Well, how do you find happiness, Ricky? One of you said, well, you know, happiness is kind of a, you know, a common word. But how would you define happiness? To say to be really truly happy. You think anyone is truly happy?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Well, how would you define happiness?
Well, no.
Part of it, right?
Well, that's part of it. It takes a lot of things to make people happy.
Now, where's
you know?
Your farm? You have a farm? Where's your
farm? Yeah, I have a farm around Nashville. I ain't going to tell you exactly where it is.
No, no.
but do you have horses on it?
No, I have cattle. I have beefalo cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Beefalo is a cross between a buffalo and a beef cattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the benefits of the beefalo is the cholesterol content is very low and the fat content is very low. And the meat is, tastes just like a regular nice steak, you know.
Yeah.
But like
we
I said,
we eat a lot of steaks in Australia.
I'm a steak eater. I love meat and potatoes.
Because, you know, Australia is the second largest beef producing country next to Argentina. So we raise a lot of cattle down there. Plus,
would you like to come to Australia?
Sure, I'd like to come to Australia.
What a great classic one-on-one interview with Ted and Tom, the Lagarde twins. I want to tell you about their book, The Lagarde Twins, Showbiz Hustlers. Let me take you back to the beginning. These twin boys walked 15 miles across the bushlands of Australia to a tent with a dirt floor and folding chairs. As the projector started up, the movie appeared in black and white on the screen, and there for the first time, they saw Hopalong Cassidy. They ran almost all the way home and told their mom, "We're going to become cowboy singers." Let me read the introduction to Showbiz Hustlers. Being raised in the bushlands of Australia in the 1930s and 40s was a rough and hard life. We didn't think about it back then because that's how life was. You had to live the hard life to understand it. But we also made a picture in our minds of the kind of life we wanted to lead, and it became a beacon that has guided us on our long journey in show business. We hope and pray that our book falls into the hands of our fellow strugglers and dreamers to give them unfailing encouragement to pursue their hopes and dreams. Above all else, we want to give God all the praise and glory for our long lives and for His mercy and grace in dealing with us throughout the years. So grab the reins and ride over 1 million miles with us from the bushlands of Australia across 7 continents through 23 countries and 45 of the 50 states in America. Let's ride. Ted and Tom Lagarde. They appeared in Vegas, movies, and TV shows. And for you Trekkies out there, get this. This book is packed with pictures and stories and is a must-read. We'll put a link below the video so you can get your copy of The Lagarde Twins, Showbiz Hustlers. The Lagarde Twins' Showbiz Hustlers makes a great gift. This book is about twin brothers from Australia who had a dream, and it came true. This is Gary Beatty, and as Ted and Tom Lagarde would say, g'day, mate.
Dolly Parton and Ricky Van Shelton had a big hit with a poignant song, Rockin' Years, which was written by her brother, Floyd Parton. Floyd said that he wrote it for his mom and dad, who have been together for more than 50 years. Dolly is working in Florida tonight, so she asked her good friend Patti Loveless to sing her part with Ricky. Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Van Shelton and Patti Loveless.
Rockin' years, rockin' chairs. Beautiful song, buddy. Beautiful song, beautiful song. You know, we're here, and I'm glad to be part of this. I'm glad that you asked me to be part of it. I really, really am. And I hope that everybody here and everybody across this land is blessed tonight by what you see and by what you hear. And since it is a tribute to Dottie Rambo, y'all bear with me. I got to do something. I saw you do this, and we have to humble ourselves sometime, right? Okay, hold on a minute. Hopefully I ain't got a hole in my sock. You sing with your shoes off, I thought I'd just do it too. Like I said, you got to humble yourself sometimes.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender.
Take
the bridge I didn't burn. Tonight I'll take a walk across the bridge I didn't burn. Take up where we left off, on a lesson still unlearned. It's like I never had a choice when loving. I should have struck the match a long, long time ago. Oh, but courage takes a backseat when old feelings gain control. Lord, she plays me like a fool every time that I return. Across the bridge I didn't burn. Tonight I'll take a walk across the bridge I didn't burn. Take up where we left off, on a lesson still unlearned. It's like I never had a choice when loving hurts concerned. So tonight I'll take a walk across the bridge I didn't burn. So tonight I'll take that walk again across the bridge I didn't. '74, a little rust around the door. She fires up every time. The paint's faded black to gray. The radio don't always play. She stops more on a quarter than a dime. She carried my wife and son safely home when he was born. I cruised in the front, loved in the back. How can I let go of a friend like that? She's still got a couple of good years left. Yes, she's still got a couple of good years left. Now she may not be the fastest, and she may not be the best. Couple of good years left. The screen door came off in my hand. It's back on the list again. Just one more thing to fix. The top step is loose again. And every now and then that old furnace needs a kiss. We raised a family here. We own it free and clear. As a house, it's gone to seed. As a home, it's all we need. It's still got a couple of good years left. Yes, it's still got a couple of good years left. Compared to better homes and gardens, this house may look a mess, but it's still got a couple.
Now hair goes gray and steps get slow, but that's all part of life, you know. One turn is all we get, and baby, you and me, well, we're not through yet. We still got a couple of good years left. Oh, we still got a couple of good years left. The way you make me feel inside, I would have to guess that we still got a couple of good years left. Oh, we still got a couple of good years left. A glad state, but still she left us, me and all her memories. Now that she's up and gone to Dallas, I am so down in Tennessee. There's a heartache big as Texas, deep in the heart of me. Still don't know why goodbye, I just know I miss her so. It's a rough ride from an all-time high down to an all-time low. There's just wide open spaces where her love used to be. There's a heartache big as Texas, heart of me.
I'm lost without her love. but there's a place right down that road, and I can find it with both eyes closed, 'cause I know the way by a broken heart, where the honky-tonk healing starts. A dance floor and a country band will put me back on my feet again, yeah. A warm shoulder and a slow two-step helps remind me how to focus. I got to get back on my feet again, yeah. A warm shoulder and a slow two-step just remind me how to forget. I got getting over love right on.
Things I did, I wouldn't be here now, trying to forget. I threw your love away. We both know that it's true. If it weren't for me, I'd be holding you. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't be with someone else, and I'd still feel your touch house, this cold and lonely bed, Lord, I got what I deserve for those foolish things I said. If it weren't for me, holding you. If
girl, we're almost broke. And then you quietly spoke, and you said, if they turn
ever go and leave me, you break my poor heart right. found the note you left there on the table. Where you finally found a way to say goodbye. It hurt, but I knew somehow I would make it. But my first reaction was to cry. First thing that I did was fall to pieces. And then I told myself, you must be right. Looking back, each other tore up all the time, and common sense said we would never make it. But my first reaction was to cry. The first thing
we'll be right back. clouds start to break, and we've made it through that storm.
There's so much more to the love we share than tangled vines and thorns.
Big Jackson up. I had the tent and the sleeping bags in the back end of the truck. Built a fire up by the lake, watched the sun go down. Fell asleep side by side on nature's hallowed ground. You may not find me every Sunday sitting on the front row pew. There are other ways of praying. I believe we still get through. The quiet of a backwoods with a boy and a fishing rod. That's just my way of talking to God. Waking to a whippoorwill at the crack of dawn. Sunbeams shining through the pines before the mist is gone. I hear a different drummer when I'm closer to the land. Sometimes I have to get away to find out who I am. You may not find me every Sunday sitting on the front row pew. There are other ways of praying. I believe we still get through. Down a road less traveled, I let go of a lot. That's just my way of talking to God. I don't need a cathedral or a tabernacle choir, a mountain stream cold and clean gets me inspired. Standing in a rainstorm now some might think it odd, but it's just my way of talking. My way of talking to God. Well, I think I get the message. I'm not deaf.
Got to know where was I? I was. got my heart broke in the second grade by pretty little Mary, what's her name? And it's been downhill ever since. My high school steady gave my class a ring back so she could sack the quarterback, and I'd have quit right then if I had any sense.
Yeah.
got a ticket in my hand and one foot out the door. It's sad to see how far apart we've come. If we could just forget taking sides in our little wars and remember back to where we started from. It's not for you, not for me, it's for anyone we're trying to please, but for two young lovers who once had it all. Carve that name in a crooked heart on a oak tree way back when. If not for you, if not for me, then for them. Under a sky full of stars, two people found love. Live or die, they swore it'd never end. And now through these tears in her eyes, they're crying out to us, begging for a chance to try again. Not for you, not for me, for anyone we're trying to please, but for two young lovers who once had it all. Carve their names in a crooked heart on an oak tree way back when. Not for you, not for me, then for them. For you, if not for me, then for them. Not for you, not for me, then for them.
There's three bedrooms, hardwood floors, and the kitchen's new. It's got everything a family needs and a backyard view. Ask anyone where it is. Hey! Tall, tall grass grows. The couple who lived there before, they kept it up. But since they left, that little yard looks a little rough. God, I miss that little boy who always kept it mowed. Wish they still lived where the tall, tall grass grows. So come by.
Come along, but I'd sooner build a fire.
then face those burning memories where the tall grass grows. Tall grass grows. Oh, then face those burning memories where the tall grass
her own. I don't try to hold her, I just let her be free. 'Cause when she needs love, sweet love, she needs me. She can be distant, oh, but I know to grow. But when she needs a shoulder, I know where she'll be. 'Cause when she needs love, sweet love, she needs me. Down on my knees, 'cause when she needs love, sweet love, she needs me.
The men who died, who gave today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, it's right in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no